This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
In Australia in 2016, over $4 billion was allocated by grant-making charities and applicants in the forms of grants and donations. Of more than 10,000 grant-making charities in Australia, only 83 reported that they'd reached the LGBTR communities with their funding. The report published by Australian Charities Not-for-Profits Commission does not specify the dollar amount that went into our communities, but with less than 1% of over 10,000 grant-making charities allocating funding to the LGBTR communities, the situation doesn't look good. Rachel Tyler-Jones spoke with the executive director of the channel, Georgia Matthews, who has called the situation pretty bleak. We start the interview with Georgia talking about her organisation, The Channel.
We're Australia's first LGBTQIA plus giving circle. So our remit is growing the pot of gold under the rainbow. A giving circle, the collective philanthropy model. So at its most basic, people join as a member, they make a monthly or annual donation. We pool those funds and then through a democratic and rigorous decision-making process, we decide where to distribute the pooled funds in the form of grants to, in our case, LGBTQIA community projects nationally. So it's a democratising philanthropy model, and we currently have 110 members across 5 states, and we've been operating for just over a year now.
On first reading, the 2016 grant-making charities figures can be confusing. We asked Georgia to break down the findings of the report for us.
The statistics that we've got from the ACNC report around flows to LGBTQIA focus area are actually around the number of grant-making organisations that name it as a population that they've reached with their funding. So the 0.8 is not about a dollar figure. It's about the number of entities that reported back saying that that was the focus of their activities. So just to clarify, it could very well be that 0.8% of the 10,000 grant-making organisations that participated in that report could give away a very small amount of money each or a very large amount of money each, and that would significantly impact the kind of conclusions we could draw around the amount of resources going to this population.
These findings are critical for the LGBTI community specifically, as Georgia explains.
There's just been a report released towards the end of last year by 3 for All Foundation, Collective Impact and PwC. I think all had a hand in putting it together. So it was a report on the annual turnover of LGBTQIA not-for-profits nationally. And it was really fantastic summary report. It actually is quite a representative sample of the sort of not-for-profit landscape in this space. And the findings were really that 48% of LGBTQIA not-for-profits in Australia have an annual turnover of under $10,000. If that is any indication, you know, looking at the number of grant-making organisations that are giving to this and then looking at the types of money that not-for-profit organisations working in this space are dealing with, we start to at least see a picture that's looking pretty bleak in terms of resources flowing to the issue area.
So if funding for LGBTI not-for-profits is so minimal, are these organisations applying for grants and being rejected? Or are they just not applying for grant funding at all? We asked Georgia why LGBTI organisations weren't being given access to more grant funding.
I think there's a lot of contributing factors to that. What we do know is that no big trusts and foundations in Australia name LGBTQIA populations as a target area. And we know that in other areas, you know, if active inclusion isn't called out, then people don't feel like they are welcome in certain spaces or that they're going to, you know, have success in this instance when applying for funds. I think that that's a contributing factor. And where another thing that we're looking at doing in the coming period is speaking to large trusts and foundations around putting something on their website and using inclusive language and actually calling out the fact that they explicitly want to see applications from the community. I think that there's an element of the fact that historically this has been an area that's been seen as too political or, you know, those sorts of things by perhaps slightly more conservative boards of trustees of philanthropic organisations. And the philanthropic sector in Australia is has been conservative in the past, and I think that they're certainly becoming more progressive. But I think that because it has been like that for so long, there hasn't been the same development of fundraising literacy and capacity building for LGBTQIA not-for-profits as there has been for not-for-profits in other areas. And what that means is that we're seeing very low numbers of LGBTQIA not-for-profits that have things like deductible gift recipient status. You know, they're not even the right kind of entity to be eligible to receive philanthropy. And nobody's having conversations around how to fix that either. And they're not necessarily invited into the room when other focus areas are talking about that. So I think that there's a big capacity building piece to be done. And I also think that, and again, this is in the theme of you know, kind of inclusive spaces and that sort of thing, there's been such a rich history of community organizing and advocacy and being a part of the solutions to our own challenges within the LGBTQIA community in Australia historically. And I think that most of those initiatives have been funded internally and they've been done on the smell of an oily rag. And I think that what we're seeing now is that people are so used to doing everything that 100% volunteer run, and I want to see that shift from thinking small grassroots community, which always has its place, to going bigger, systemic, strategic, and actually calling on the powers that be to resource that properly, because it's time for that to happen.
There is ongoing frustration for people like Georgia that there is no data published on the dollar figure of grants given to the LGBTI communities, or any other community for that matter.
It's the bane of our existence that we can't access data around the amounts of philanthropic funding flowing to the community. This is an issue in not just around the LGBTQIA area, but when it comes to any other focus, whether that's disability or women and girls or Indigenous programs. There's certain reporting requirements that the ACNC currently imposes, especially on structured philanthropy organisations, but they don't necessarily include a consistent and overarching data set around exactly how much goes to what. And, you know, we can look to the states to see just what that looks like when it is reported on consistently and there's data there for people to analyse and translate and use to benchmark and to, you know, move forward with in an informed way. But, yeah, unfortunately, we don't have that in Australia as yet.
The figures we've been talking about are from 2016, but Georgia thinks that the 2017 picture might look quite different, as we see the effects of funding donated to the marriage equality debate reflected in the 2017 Grant-Making Charities report. We asked how our communities could keep that funding flowing now that we have achieved the yes vote.
That's certainly something that the channel's really interested in, trying to keep donors interested in this space. These sorts of conversations that we're having, and hopefully, you know, we have plans to play a bit more of a convening role around all the main players in the community sector to sort of figure out how we're supposed to be talking about LGBTQIA philanthropy and engaging philanthropists from the community, but also mainstream philanthropics, to keep the momentum going post-marriage equality. And I think that that needs to be a really coordinated effort from the community sector and something that we haven't done very well in the past. So it's a really interesting time.
The marriage equality debate gave our community a really clear message to rally behind. But in a normal year, the diverse needs of our communities don't fit into such a neat, focused narrative. We asked Georgia if the low donation figures could be a result of not rallying behind one cause or banner.
Look, I spend a lot of my time talking to philanthropic organisations that don't play in this space too much. And the sort of overwhelming reaction I get is, God, can't you just hire a PR agency or something and sort out this messaging debacle? And you know, it is frustrating that sometimes the language and labels and the identity politics around all of this stuff can be alienating for outsiders and exclusionary for insiders and all these sorts of things. But I think it's really important, and this is what I say to people who kind of talk about how the acronym is confusing and those sorts of things, is that not having a language to talk about this stuff is a result of, you know, a long history of systemic oppression and it not being spoken about in the public forum, and therefore there not being a discourse and not being a vocabulary developed. You know, it's only in the last decade or so that trans and queer and intersex and non-binary and gender non-conforming and all of those terms have really been brought out and spoken about in mainstream forums. And I think that it takes time for these things to evolve. What I would really like to see is for us to kind of try and move past the language conversation and get a bit cleverer about how we communicate to people. And it's not just around modifying labels. It's actually around talking about this as a human rights issue and talking about and making a compelling case. And I think that that's why the evidence piece is so important. And yes, marriage equality did that really well. I think that, you know, the next challenge is of have the ability to do the same thing. I think it's just a matter of being strategic about it, I guess.
That was Georgia Matthews, Executive Director of The Circle, talking to Rachel Tyler-Jones about the lack of grant funding reaching the LGBTI communities in Australia.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.